This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
About to show these boys how we do it.
Higher, further, faster, baby.
It's not about deserve.
I'm not an owl!
A girl has no name. There is something supernatural at work here.
It's about what you believe.
Did I step on your mom?
Wingardium Leviosa.
Now on, you do as I do.
You may the odds be ever in your favor.
Are you ready for this?
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Hearing, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, my name is Monica, and with me today is my lovely, amazing, glorious, and kind of confused co-host, Amanda. I'm sorry. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Moni. I am a little bit confused. Were you like batting a fly out of your face
or
something?
Something was flying like right in the middle of my face, and it was very confusing, so I had to like shove it aside or something.
I was just like, did that just happen?
It did happen.
Did I make that up in my head? Like,
no.
What's going on here?
No, it did not. It cool. did very well happen.
How you doing?
I'm super tired today. But I'm also excited because tomorrow I get my first shot of the vaccine.
Yay! So I'm like...
celebrating. And well, not celebrating yet, but I will tomorrow, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Hopefully everything will be fine. We're getting the...
Does this mean we're not co-working?
It's at 3.
Oh, okay.
So it's at 3:15. So and we probably just need to leave at 5:30 so we can until then.
Perfect.
It's in the afternoon. All good, no worries. Maybe a bit earlier because there are probably a lot of people. But yeah. Anyway, that's the all entire situation basically. And so that's cool. I've been in Graz today. That was confusing after months of not being in anything city-like. I was just super tired just driving through there and coming home, so I'm not used to the city anymore at all. But I'm looking forward to doing that more often once I'm more vaccinated.
Yay.
And how is you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm also tired, but I've had 3 nights of kind of interrupted sleep, so that would do it. But the first one was for good reason. We got up at 3 a.m. to watch our friends get married on Zoom.
That is so cool. I'm so excited still.
Yeah, so adorable. It was wonderful. So it was like worth it, but very tired because of it.
Aww.
Yeah. I just like, I have like a really weak link to sleep. Like if I wake up in the night, I'm at for more than a pee. I'm awake for...
for more than a pee.
For more than for a very long time.
It's a kitty, isn't it? Also,
yeah, she's a jerk.
No,
5:15 yesterday, 4:48 this morning.
Oh no!
Yep, she's wonderful.
That's annoying.
Yep, burrs.
Imagine having kids.
I know.
No, no, like thanks. I couldn't do it. I don't know how mothers do it, honestly.
No, I know.
I mean, they have to, kind of, and have to survive it, but I'm like, I don't know. No.
No idea. Couldn't do it.
Yeah. So heads off to all the moms out there.
Yeah.
Jinx in chat said, I've done it and don't recommend.
It's fair. That's all the convincing I need.
Yeah, totally.
Sold. Don't do it.
Perfect. You can train the animals to listen to your biological clock better than kids, I suppose.
You'd think that.
You'd think that. I mean, how long is Kit Kat with you now?
Almost 3 months.
Yeah, I mean, we had Yoshi for years, and you would still think now he's already like super comfortable with us and everything is great and whatever. And then every year it's still like there's still some more trust that came from him every year. And you think it reached a peak already, but there's still, even after years, even more came. So I'm like, who the fuck knows? Maybe in no time she doesn't want to lie on you anymore all the time or whatever.
Yeah. I give her a little bit of leeway for last night because there was like a windstorm and it was really loud and it was quite scary. And I think she was scared.
But
yeah, poor thing.
The poor one.
Poor thing. But yeah, I'm excited because it's our favorite episode to record.
Yay! You need to do it. I can't do it.
I do need. It's Geek Girl in the News.
Cool. Now we have that sorted. yes, Geek Girl in the News for April. Look at me getting the month right. Who the fuck would have thought?
I'm so proud of you.
I know.
Yeah.
Isn't it March? Like the third time in a row? I mean, in theory, it's March the 15th time in a row. Exactly. Quick maths. Look at you go.
I know. Not just a pretty face.
No. Yeah, but this time we're correct. Geek Girl in the News for April 2021. Which means we're already in May. How the fuck did that happen anyway?
I don't know. I'm very confused by this monthly progression. Like, I understand that months happen after the next month, or like that they come in a row, but yeah. I'm not
into it either.
No, but like, let's go back in time to March 30th.
Yes.
When our first article came out.
Yes. Which still counts for April, basically.
It totally counts. It came out after, it was released after we recorded our March news. So it totally counts.
It's fine.
And thank you to Tom from Through Extra Lives for the article, as per usual, because it's sports. And not esports. So he did also give us our esports article tonight. So, you know, Tom coming in with the sports. Rebecca Welch becomes first female referee to be appointed to EFL game ahead of Harrogate Town and Port Vale. And the EFL is the English Football League.
Ahead of Harrogate Town? I was going to say we know people who are from there. But never mind. I will not dox anyone.
I'm like, do I?
Publicly. Yes, you do too.
Oh, okay.
We talked about them today, just so that you are aware.
We talked about a lot of people today. Yeah.
Maybe you will figure it out. Otherwise, I'll tell you later. But thanks, cool.
Tell me later, because we talked about a lot of people today.
Yeah.
That sounds like we're talking about a lot of people. I mean, we were, but...
As you do.
Nothing bad. We're just talking about people. Talking about some of our favorite Twitch streamers, actually, is what we were talking about. Talking about the Twitch streamers we enjoy and how, like, 90% of them are gay men.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is great in general. Great. Here for it.
Yep.
Anyways. Rebecca Welch.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one we were talking about right now.
Not a gay man.
Let me just... I'm sure we will get to that eventually.
Sorry.
I just need some input here because I'm very not what is it called? Fluent in English sporting. Are Harrogate Town and Port Vale in a higher league in the UK?
No, they're in the English Football League. Which is like, so the top one is the Premier League.
Yeah.
The Premier League. And then the English Football League is a different one.
The way you sold this to me, I cannot believe. Good. Oh my god, I'm so glad that we talk about sports that we have no idea about. Oh dear. I was hoping for Tom to slide in with the knowledge.
He did. I'm crying.
Jinx in chat is like, the level of expertise. No, right? It's just weird. Okay, Tom, as per usual, is saving our ass, as per fucking usual.
Needs to make sure that we're better equipped to talk about these sports articles if he's going to keep dropping them in here.
I mean, one would have thought you maybe had a quick conversation about it. Okay.
You would think that.
It goes Premier League, then three divisions, which are the EFL. So basically,
and the EFL is made up of the Championship, League One, and League Two.
Did you Google that just now?
No, prior background knowledge.
Prior background knowledge. Obviously. What do you mean? Geek Herring always prepares for a podcast.
You want anyway. Me to actually read these articles before we do this show?
Okay. Anywho, here we go. And she did.
Fuck me.
Not today, Amanda. Not today.
Maybe tomorrow.
If Tom has a good day. Rebecca Welch has become the first female referee to be appointed to a game in the English Football League. It has been announced.
She is the highest ranking female referee in English football to take charge of the League 2 match.
Okay.
That's cool.
That match already happened by the time, because we're at the end of May now. But I have no idea how that ended.
At the end of May.
Or did it not happen? I don't know. Okay, they said, never mind. It's too complicated. So she has been already selected after an ongoing review of her performances in the season, and has been approved by the chiefs of the refereedom, or whatever it's called.
Tom informs us that Port Vale won 2-0.
Okay.
So that's cool. So something interesting from this article, she says that I've received criticism for my refereeing, and that's part of football, but I've gone through the men's pathway and I've never experienced anything like the abuse because I'm a female referee.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
By the, what is it called? I mean, I suppose as a referee, you have to be really strong to enable boundaries in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she said in this article that she has received criticism because of her refereeing,
mm-hmm.
which is natural. Like, a lot of refs receive criticism, most refs, I would say. But she hasn't received criticism because she's female, which is great, I think. And she says, we need to keep on educating people about how it makes that person feel. I've been very lucky that I turn up and they don't see me as a female referee. They just say, Rebecca's here and she's the ref today. Mm-hmm. End of story. I think that was wonderful, and that's what we need more nice. Of.
Yeah.
That attitude. I do wonder if it's because it is a lower league. Excuse me. Like, I wonder what it would be like if it was in the more televised Premier Leagues.
Yeah, and the more televised ones, maybe, for sure. At the same time, fans of small clubs are just as passionate about, or sometimes even more passionate about, their team than sometimes bigger ones. Not that bigger ones are not, and of course there are more of those, but the hardcore football fans that go to their smaller club matches are just as into it as bigger ones often. So yes, while there are more people obviously that would do that, it doesn't necessarily mean that she wouldn't receive that if that were the only reason.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that made a bit less sense, but you know what I mean? No, probably not. But she also said that if it's not me, then she still has no doubt that in the next 10 to 15 years, we will see a female referee in the Premier League, which is a long time frame, in my humble opinion. Like 10 to 15 years.
There's already an assistant ref, though, in the Premier League, a female assistant ref.
Yeah.
And
there are no fans right now. That is also true because COVID.
Yeah, I do think it's going to come. And I actually think that her projection of 10 to 15 years might be a lot. Like, I think it might come earlier than that.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
But yes, Tom is very right that there are no fans right now. And I do think the players are, in general, about the game and not necessarily have other things to focus on in that when the match is happening anyway. So they can't waste their time starting a fight with a referee because she's a woman. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, that's all just super, super assumptions that I'm putting out there.
Yeah, I mean, the last line in the article does say, she says, 20 minutes into one game, somebody sat in the stand next to my dad and didn't even realize the ref was a female. That just shows how people don't really take that much notice of it, and that's a massive positive. Like,
well, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm not entirely sure if not taking knowledge of it, like, yes, it's kind of what we want, but at the same time, what that sentence says to me is kind of, yeah, I didn't notice the referee was female, but she's also female, if you know what I mean. Mm. So how is that intended? Is it intended like, was it because one would assume that that female referees would judge different, which is bullshit because there are the rules and they go by the rules, and otherwise I can acknowledge that it's a female referee, period.
I imagine this situation being like the dad being excited and be like, that's my daughter out there, and the person standing next to them was all like, I didn't even know the ref was a woman. Cool.
Yeah. Anyway, doesn't defy anything, like, still amazing that there is finally in 2021 one female referee
in the EFL.
In the EFL.
That's very good. It's good. It's a start, and I'm excited for the future of women, like, reffing men's sports.
Yeah. Yes. So, here for that.
Me too.
Going from one sports to esports.
Yeah, this article is really cool. And it's also from Tom. And it's about Japan opening an esports gym in Tokyo, where people can book 3-hour slots at computers and pay for coaching from professional gamers.
I generally dig that idea very much.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
I think this is really cool. Like, imagine, you know, you've always wanted to get good at games, you know, and it's just like, okay, if, yeah, you can practice, but wouldn't it be great to actually have somebody, like, somebody who is a professional or retired professional esports player over your shoulder, giving you pointers right then and there?
Yeah, I mean, sure. My only issue is that I don't have a competitive bone in my body, so I'm like but I get the theory of it all, and of course, if you want to become better at it, and why there are every other sport you need to train at, and you have a coach that trains with you, and you need to go to the gym, or you hire someone who does it for you, so it's like that is just way more accessible for people to actually do that.
And it's really cheap as well. Like, can we just talk about how cheap it is? Like, a 3-hour slot is $13. I'm assuming it's American dollars converted. And a monthly membership that starts at $50. Just to, like, go to the gym. But still, that's really cheap.
But it says, which allows you daily access to the gaming PC as well as optional coaching sessions that can be added for about $25 an hour.
This is so cool.
I mean, at least you, like in every other sport, you will work together with other people in the gym, I suppose, and then learn from each other as well, which is probably really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is cool. And I think it's only going to be one of the first of its kind opening up. Because, like, these types of gaming cafes, gaming hubs, lounges, whatever you want to call them, like, they're big in Asia, but I've heard of them also popping up around Europe, and I would dare say they're in North America as well, at the very least.
It reminds me a lot of old school internet cafes in the 90s.
Yes, that's exactly what I think of when I hear this. I'm like, okay, so, like, old school, like, you know, where you go when you're backpacking or something and you need to just send an email or whatever, or I don't know, if you don't have a computer at home. And then, like, this is just those, but pimped up to be an actual, like, fancy esports gym.
Yeah. I mean, fancy. Yeah, there is a table with 3 chairs next to each other. But I totally understand the general idea of it, and I think it's great. I just think it's great that it gets more into mainstream, like every other sport does.
Mm-hmm. I think, like, esports are definitely taking the world by storm. Mm. I don't know. Like, they have been for a while now. But, like, when colleges, universities, high schools are having esports teams, and they're, like, getting just as much training and like, scholar, like, recognition, and have to, like, maintain GPAs and stuff in order to compete and everything. Like, they're they're being held to the same level as, like, physical sports, and like, it's here and it's staying, and I think we just need to embrace it. Like, woohoo, esports.
Yuffie said that she had no idea how big the world of esports was until she saw that there was an esports area being built near in Philly. So that's just also, I mean, proof enough that there are things moving in a direction that, and even though Bill fucking Mayer says, who fucking watches people on Twitch playing video games, fuck you, Bill Mayer, or however you are pronounced, don't even give a fuck. We can all do what we like to do, can't we?
Yeah. And besides, like, what's the difference between sitting down and watching somebody play a video game and sitting down and watching somebody kick a football around? You know, like,
well,
you're still
because people
passively
think,
consuming content.
Well, that is true. But people value the content that is consumed and think they have to decide what is good for other people to watch and what isn't.
Mm-hmm. I think esports gyms are cool, and I look forward to seeing more of them.
Yeah. I'm here for that too. Love how Japan is setting the trend as per usual, and it's gonna hopefully come soon to our areas and to Europe and to the US as well.
Definitely. Excited now, Monica, Monica, I was hoping that you could explain something to me because will help me be able to talk about this article a lot better.
I think you're gonna ask me what I will not be able to answer, but here we go.
Monica, what is an NFT?
I knew you were going to ask me that, and I have no fucking clue.
I asked Tom. I've asked you. You know, I've exhausted my source of people that I ask things of, and nobody can tell me what an NFT is. But they're big deals, apparently.
Yeah, they're big deals. Apparently, something related to kind of like a Bitcoin, but not really. What is NFT? Hang on, we're gonna Google that. NFT.
I also Googled it and I did not understand it. Just want to put that out there.
It's a non-fungible token. That's the short word for NFT.
Fungible?
I don't know what it is. Is it fungi? Is it? What does it even mean? I don't know. Fungus. It's a token that doesn't get crap. So what is it? So what does that means, according to Verge, is it more or less means that it's unique and can't be replaced with something else. For example, a Bitcoin is fungible. Please tell me how to pronounce this.
So fungibility is an economics word that means property of a good or commodity whose individual units are essentially interchangeable, and each of its parts is interchangeable, indistinguishable from another part.
Oh, I was just asking you how to pronounce it.
I have no idea. I didn't know what it meant. Oh, so I was cool. Like, maybe we should look that up first. Hello, so, Amanda does not study economics, and okay. There's a reason for that. Because
maybe my paragraph would have been more helpful. So they say, for example, a Bitcoin is fungible. Trade one for another Bitcoin and you'll have exactly the same thing. A one-of-a-kind trading card, however, is not fungible. If you traded for a different card, you'd have something completely different. So, for example, if you trade one Pokemon card with the other Pokemon card, that's what would make the... Assumingly that there is only one deck of Pokemon cards in the entire world, and you change one card with the other card, that is a... that is non-fungible. But the Bitcoin, because it's like money, you exchange money for money, for the same kind of money, you will still get the same thing. You gave up its Squirtle, I don't know. How does it work? At the very high level, most NFTs are part of a blockchain. Ethereum blockchain, which is also one of the cryptocurrencies. Exactly, I knew that without... And they tell me in the next sentence. Ethereum is a cryptocurrency like Bitcoin or Dogecoin, but its blockchain also supports the NFTs with some extras, with some store extra information that makes them work differently from, say, ETH coins. It is worth nothing that other blockchains can implement their own versions of NFT. So basically, we're talking about cryptocurrency here, I suppose.
Cool. What is a blockchain?
Well, that's I think, a chain of codes. Basically, what all this cryptocurrency is exchanging codes with each other and giving them some worth. It's like trading money and except calling it dollars or calling it euros or calling it yen or whatever. They call it Bitcoin. They have they have math, like computer technology behind it that creates all this change of mathematics, basically. And the more of that mathematical shit you have, the more money you have. That's how I understand cryptocurrency, to be honest. But that might be also very wrong.
Deb says in chat that NFTs are like physical collector's items, only digital. So instead of getting an actual oil painting to hang on the wall, the buyer gets a digital file instead.
Yeah, and it's probably killing the planet because of the computer power that it uses to create create it, basically.
Okay.
Because what do you do when people got into this entire Bitcoin situation was that you can actually have a computer in your house that is continuously producing these bits and bytes that are needed for the currency, basically, and that needs a lot of fucking power and energy, and you can't really create a lot based on the math that it's producing, I think. Yeah, and because there are so many creating these, and it's also the reason why I can't get graphics cards right now. So Chess says cryptocurrency will use as much power as the entire United States by the end of 2021 or something, and this is also why you can't get graphics cards right now.
Wow.
Because they use up so much of the computer power that is needed to even create them and then trade with them, basically. And I suppose NFT is one of those. And what Deb says is can be, it's digital, and it's digital goods, basically. Which leads to the article that we're talking about.
Yes.
Because everybody in the world of the internet knows that meme of the little girl in front of the burning house with a smug look on her face as if she just set that entire house on fire.
We call her Disaster Girl.
We call her Disaster Girl. I had no idea that she had a name until this article, to be very honest. But if you would have told me that, I would have known her meme. And her name is Zoe Roth.
And she's now a college senior.
And she's not unrich.
No, she just made $500,000 off her meme and is planning to give the proceeds to charity as well as pay off her student loans.
And the reason why we talked about NFTs is because she got that through an NFT auction. So basically her meme image got sold off for $500,000 through one of these NFT auctions in the end. And it made her like a good freaking fortune.
It really did. And, you know, that's great. I cannot understand how this picture made this much money, but congratulations.
So the meme sold for 180 Ether, which is not something that is going on in Final Fantasy, though it sounds similar. But Ethereum and Ether is one of the Bitcoin currencies that are out there. And they all have also different kind of worths. Obviously, Bitcoin, everybody knows Bitcoin, but there are so many more different kind of currency, digital currencies, basically, and the Ether is one of them. And 180 Ether, let's check out 101 Ethereum in euros is one Ether is 2,809 euros and 76 cents. In pounds, that is
GBP.
Pound sterling. It's 2,430 pounds and 8 cents. So a whole fucking whole lot of money. Tom in chat says he owes some Ethereum, like 1.00000 something. So yeah. The Roth, so the family of the Disaster Girl, they did retain the copyright. And they will... Oh my god, how fucking smart are they? They retained the copyright for the picture. And they will receive 10% of future sales.
Oh, very good.
Smart. Smart, so smart. The market for ownership rights to digital arts, Ethereum, and media known as NFTs is exploding. All NFT, including the Disaster Girl memes, are stamped with a unique bit of digital code that marks their authenticity and stored on a blockchain, a distributed ledger system that underlies Bitcoin and other currencies, cryptocurrencies. I love that. I mean, it's wild. So wild. I don't love what it causes to the planet, obviously. And cryptocurrencies, if you feel cryptocurrencies are the epiphany of what is wrong, or what it kind of is wrong with in the entire system of money in general, because it's just not money is not anything that you can hold in your hand anymore. It's basically everything is digital. So, Jess said in chat, apparently a few years ago some dude threw away a hard drive with a few hundred Bitcoin on it and didn't know it was going to get so big. There was a video of him digging through the dump looking for it because it's worth hundreds of millions now. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
A colleague of mine, she also had Bitcoin on a physical wallet. Like, you can have a digital wallet that you can access online, but you can also have a physical wallet which is like a hard drive or something like that. And she lost it. And then Bitcoin had like this huge rise in the last couple of months or something. And she did find it again and could access it again. It just needed a firmware update. So at least she has all her Bitcoin shit back now. But yeah, a lot of technical stuff connected to all of that. And wild. But I mean, proof kind of how irrelevant actual value of something is. Because all it does is create more maths, in a way.
It's making something out of nothing.
What money does as well now, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I don't understand this at all. Like, I've my brain cannot process how something like this can happen. But I am pleased that she made money.
Yeah. the article also says that Ben Lashes is the guy who manages the Roths, and stars of other memes, including the Nyan Cat, Grumpy Cat, Keyboard Cat, Dodge Success Kid, and David After Dentist, and the ridiculously photogenic guy, said his clients had cumulatively made over 2 million in NFT sales.
Wow.
Yeah. And just
NFT sales are establishing memes as a sophisticated art form and serious pieces of culture.
I mean, I am down for that. Honestly, I stand behind this statement.
Okay.
I think it's great because who defines what is art and what isn't? And in third, well, and true. It's defining culture as it is, fully defining culture as it is. It defines communication. It defines how we interact with each other, and so do emojis. So for people say it's just child's play and nothing of relevance, it's just not true, because an entire generation and various generations are communicating in other kinds of art forms or other kinds of memes of communication, which is emojis or memes or GIFs or whatever. So, and it just also affects how culture and how communication works. So it's not just some random GIF that we're posting, I think.
Cool.
I posted an NFT on Moni's Facebook wall once. I will sue her on one day. Thank you very much for preparing me, Tom. And yeah, and he said, and that's interesting, I think anytime you can find a collector, no matter what the price is, who respects the art behind it and is going to cherish it, that's a successful sale, whether it's an ether, whether it's one ether or 200 or 300. Yeah. Wild.
Absolutely wild. Let's talk about something I understand.
Cool. Let's do it.
Okay. So this article's from today.
Yay. And it's written by the one and only Ed Nightingale.
Yes.
Who is one of our very good friends and a games journalist. And I have to work really hard to not say James Gurnalist, but he's a games journalist for Pink News.
Yes. And he release the article, Sony announces new partnership with gaming platform Discord, raising hopes for improved crossplay.
And are we excited?
Oh, are we, Monica? As a PlayStation user, is this something that's exciting for you?
Probably not, because I hardly ever connect my hardly ever connect, at least when it comes to typing, I don't really connect my keyboard to my PlayStation, even though I should. But for voice chat, I think it's great.
Hmm.
Because
Okay, that makes sense. I was like, will it just be the Discord PlayStation?
No, I mean, we have to consider that Discord came out, was created more as an alternative kind of to TeamSpeak, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that was only solely a place where people go to connect with each other, to connect on voice chat with each other while you play video games, right? The entire fact that you build community around it is something that came with it, I think, because that's also where the people could text, chat, and do stuff like that. So now if you are able to, and they have been independent all this time, like every other platform is bought by some bigger company. And by now, so Discord was still kind of independent in that entire situation. And especially during the pandemic, they rose in popularity for sure, because people noticed that they can offer courses and build stuff and create community and have classrooms or whatever all in Discord. So now they needed somebody to, well, because money-wise, I don't think they've been doing a really good job.
Mm.
So they needed somebody to buy them. And a few months ago, weeks ago, Microsoft was the one that was rumored of buying Discord. And apparently now it's going to be Sony and PlayStation.
Yeah, I think that this is just a great move for both PlayStation and Discord, obviously for the financial implications for Discord, but also the accessibility, I think, of those communities for PlayStation users. I think it'll help build some good community.
And there are a lot of games now that are cross-play too, so you can play, and especially with different things like that, it's just easier to, you are not, and from the PlayStation, from the console itself, you are always so limited to just voice chat with the people that also have a PlayStation, and mm-hmm. everything else was way more complicated. So now doing that, being able to do that via the PlayStation, I don't think is the worst option to have.
Not at all. And good for those Final Fantasy players, you know?
Ew, who are those people? Well, we are those people. The look on your face. The delayed look on your face. Yeah. As long as I think they don't change a lot of... I mean, obviously changes will always happen, but I think generally Discord is a really nice platform and the way it works is really great. So, as long as they don't massively change the functionality of the thing to a degree where they're just making it worse for the sake of adjusting it to their company, whatever, then I will have a different opinion. But if they are able to make it work on PlayStation and keep Discord in a place where it's usable for other things as well, that would be amazing. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
But so far, it's still unclear what the integration will look like, so we will see how that goes.
Well, you will see.
I
won't see it firsthand.
It will. Do you have a PlayStation 4, though?
We do.
Yeah, that would work. I think they said it would be for both.
Yeah, we watch Netflix on our PS4.
Oh, so you're not using it, that's what you mean. Well, that is a you problem, then.
Yeah. So I'm excited about our next article, which came in from listener Flame Flash.
Yay.
Thank you, Flame Flash. Sorry, Tom made me laugh in chat just saying, we don't just watch Netflix, we watch Disney on the PlayStation 2. And Amazon Prime. Like, come on. Gotta get the trifecta in there. So Flame Flash has submitted an article here about Ironheart, Marvel Disney Plus series sets Chinaka Hodge as the head writer.
That sounds exciting.
Mm-hmm. So the Ironheart series will be coming to Disney Plus, and Chinaka Hodge will be the head writer. It's going to be starring Dominique Thorne as Marvel character Ryri Williams, a genius inventor and the creator of the most advanced suit of armor since Iron Man.
Ooh.
That's cool.
That is pretty cool. And why is that also cool? Because both are black women.
Yes.
So not only do we get the black woman, black Iron Woman version, black women, black female version of Iron Man. It's not a black Iron Woman. It's whatever her character is.
Ironheart.
Ironheart. One, if one could remember what they just read, wouldn't that be great? And that is also has a black woman as a lead writer, yeah, for a black female led story is just great.
It is really, really great. And also, like, can we talk about the subject of this story? Because it sounds really cool. So the comics, Ironheart comics, which were introduced in 2016, so not all that long ago, but the character is a 15-year-old MIT student. So she's, like, a genius,
yeah,
going to one of the most, like, well-known and prestigious, like, technological colleges ever,
mm-hmm,
who reverse engineers Iron Man's armor in order to create armor of her own. And then Iron Man, Tony Stark, took notice and gave her his encouragement to pursue the life of a superhero.
Nice.
Like, that is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Ironheart is one of the various Marvel Disney Plus shows that are in the works right now. And they will focus on women of color. So we are excited about that. There are various ones that are in the making as well. So it's Miss Marvel, who is the first young Muslim superhero, basically, which also has Bisha K. Ali working with it. And she's also...
Iman Vellani is Ms. Marvel herself.
Mm.
And then Jessica Gao is leading the She-Hulk series, which has Tatiana Maslany, who you might know her from... Oh my god, the name of the show literally just left my head.
I don't know what you mean.
It was so good. I watched it all. What was it called? Orphan Black. Thank you, Robbie. Thank you. That, the name of it just like went, it's here and now it's not.
I mean, mood.
Yeah.
There is a really great documentary on Disney Plus that I think it's the Marvel 16 or whatever it's called. And they focus on various things, Marvel. And they also have an episode about Miss Marvel there and the creation of Miss Marvel and everything attached to it. And the writer of Miss Marvel and all of that. So that was really interesting too. So if anybody wants to watch that, check that out on Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm. And we were going to save this one for last, but I think it fits in here really nicely. A trailer for Marvel's Phase 4 was dropped on Twitter yesterday.
It was so
did good. You lose your shit?
I did lose my shit a bit. I lost my shit even before it ended, to be honest, because I think it was a montage of Stan Lee speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And it hardcore spoke to absolutely everything that is going on in the pandemic right now, and Marvel really does such a good job with making you feel things, I think, a lot of the times. So it was just so cool to see that. And in the end of this trailer, which is how long? 3 minutes is long.
3 minutes.
They basically show everything that is coming out in the next year, when there we can all go to the fucking movies again, hopefully. And all the shows and all the movies mostly, right?
Yeah, we do have a list of everything that's coming out. And yeah, it's mostly movies. Do you want me to read them? Do you
want
me to read
them all? Yes, please.
Okay, we have Black Widow coming out in 2021. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, 2021. Eternals, 2021. Spider-Man, No Way Home, also 2021. And then we go into 2022 with Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which I am very excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Monica's most excited one, Thor Love and Thunder.
I'm so excited about Thor Love and Thunder, like you would not believe. Anyway, continue.
Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, which I am pretty keen to see what's happening here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And ending, and then we've got the Marvels, which looks like it's going to have brain farted Captain Marvel and also Ms. Marvel in it.
Oh, will it?
I think
I wasn't sure what that was about, but I was also didn't Google anything, so mm-hmm. I will
not
be...
100% sure. Just mm-hmm. going by memory of what I heard somebody say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we've also got Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 coming, and Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania.
I still have to watch Ant-Man and the Wasp. I think I watched it or something, and then I fell asleep or something. I don't know. I really love Paul Rudd. I love him so much, but the Ant-Man movie didn't get me. I don't know why. I don't know what it is. I don't know what You're it was. Wrong. I can't tell you. He was hilarious. He is just the absolute best. But the movie was kind of, I don't know why I found it a bit awkward. I don't know. But Paul Rudd is so hot, Whoopi. I think he's just epic in general. He's just the perfect person to... be Ant-Man. I just don't know if I like the superhero that is Ant-Man, you know? I find it weird what he does, in a way. I don't know.
Shrink
and grow. And he's so slow when he grows. I don't know. I need to watch it again. I will watch it again with new and fresh eyes. I haven't seen it in ages. And I don't care if things are tiny and then get big, Tom.
Moving swiftly forward, and I'm just changing the order, Monica, that we agreed on, because it just makes so much more sense to now talk about our other Marvel franchise, Deadpool.
We do love, I mean, Ryan Reynolds, right?
Right. So Ryan Reynolds is begging Marvel to make Deadpool openly bisexual. And I'm here for this. Like, Deadpool in the comics is pansexual, mm-hmm. you know, so why not in the films too?
Who did we talk about the other day who has a poly relationship from the Marvel superheroes? Oh, yes. Oh.
Star-Lord.
Yes, Star-Lord. Yes.
Yeah.
I forgot his name. I thought of Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, we've got one. It's not in the movies yet either, but it is confirmed canon in the comics. So, yeah, excited to see this.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, Ryan Reynolds gets what he wants.
I mean, Ryan Reynolds put so much effort into the general fact of even creating the fucking first Deadpool movie that nobody wanted him to make. But he was like, we're going to make this movie and it's going to be great. And it took them forever to even bring him back into the Marvel Universe in a way, because they didn't want him to do it. And he was like, I'm doing it and you can suck my balls or whatever. Sorry, that's probably not what he said.
It's probably exactly what he said.
It's probably exactly what he said with my aviation gin. And but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he says himself, like, the great thing about Deadpool is that we're allowed to do things that other superhero movies don't necessarily do.
Mm.
Not that, like, any superhero movie shouldn't or couldn't explore, like, sexuality of their superheroes, but... like, he's very right about Deadpool. Like, there's, like, an extra level of everything goes.
Mm. The article also says that the company, so they talk about Disney in that regard, because Disney owns just fucking everything, has largely shied away from explicit representation of LGBT plus identities in the MCU in the past, which some have speculated is due to the fear of censorship in countries where homosexuality is either illegal or not socially accepted. However, such fears would likely not be a problem for Deadpool for a Deadpool sequel, as the earlier films have already been banned in numerous countries due to violence and sexual content. So Reynolds previously confirmed as much, and following the release of Deadpool 2, he said, that's not really a problem for us, because we were banned in China. We were rated fuck you in China. I just love Ryan Reynolds so much, and if it turns out he's gonna be an asshole, he's all gonna just fucking annoy me again. But so far,
I mean, like, I think he is an asshole, but I also don't think he's, like, a bad asshole. I think he's just kind of, like, an ass.
Well, I think there is a difference between someone who is just not giving a shit, in a way that it's like, I'm going to do something that is going to be great for a lot of people, so I'm not giving a shit and I'm doing it anyways. Mm-hmm. That's not what I would categorize as someone being an asshole. That's just somebody knowing what he wants, going for what he wants. And because I think he's doing great stuff in it, because if he wouldn't give a shit whether there would be LGBTQIA plus a representation in anything, he wouldn't demand it from the company. So I'm like, that's clearly something that is important to him to a degree that he wants to be like, let's do this. Let's fucking do this, mm-hmm. because it's needed. And wherever you think we can't air it, it's not happening anyway. So that's why I'm like, I think he's not an asshole in the sense of fuck humanity, I'm going to get rich and don't give a shit. I don't think he's that kind of asshole. He's just like someone who's like, I'm going to do my shit. I don't care what other people say. And I don't give two fucks about that. And that's something I really appreciate.
Yeah, I feel like he treats life as a bit of a meme. And I love it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, he bought a football team and it came with an English town. He started a mobile cell phone company in America that's giving the most the most affordable cell plans in the entire country.
Yeah.
He owns a gin company.
I know.
Sorry, it's Welsh, not English town. My apologies.
How dare you.
He's just living the shit out of life and I want to be his best friend.
Yeah, me too. But I think there is a long line for people who want to be his best friend. I mean, we can just make a stupid fucking joke about everything, make a hilarious video, send it to him and ask him to be in Geek Herring. I mean, why the fuck not?
Let's do it.
Yeah, we can do it.
Okay, cool.
We just need to think about something really cool. But we can brainstorm about that some other time. If you have any ideas, listeners or people in chat, if you have any amazing ideas how we can get Ryan Reynolds to be on this podcast, let us know. And we will try and make it happen.
Yeah. I picture a community video.
Oh, it needs to be badass.
Oh yeah.
You were too.
There needs to be explosions.
Yeah, and even if it's just sometimes a bit shit or something, we just need to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, goals.
Goals. So yeah, we love Ryan Reynolds.
We might need a few mods in chat that day. I mean.
True.
I think we could find a few people who would help us there. Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
Yeah. And our last article also comes from our friend Ed.
Yes, because we love Ed. There was a PlayStation, what is it called? Oh Jesus. What is it called? I don't remember.
I don't know what you're
talking about. Showcase or something. It's not called Showcase. Oh, okay. Anyway, they released more details about State of Play. Thank you very much, Tom. There was a PlayStation State of Play, and they generally released more information about things that are going on with PlayStation. And in the first, in the last State of Play that has happened, they already announced a new Ratchet and Clank, and we saw that mysterious female Lombax person there, and everybody was like, who the fuck is this? This is amazing. Oh my god, whatever. Woo. oh god. And in this State of Play, they did announce who this person is and who this Lombax is. And the female Lombax is called Rivet.
She is described as a Lombax resistant fighter from another dimension whose organic life is hunted by the evil Emperor Nefarious.
It does look like Rivet will be the one who is who we will be playing with in the game. And yeah, it's a typical platformer it's going to be again. So I'm curious about that. I downloaded the first Ratchet and Clank on the PlayStation because it comes with this package there. So I'm curious about that.
Can I just read this line out that Ed wrote and say, filth, Ed, filth. The story sees regular antagonist Dr. Nefarious sucking the titular duo into an alternate dimension. Filthy. Filthy, filthy Ed Nightingale.
I love him so much. He wrote one article. Which one was that? I don't remember now. He made a lot of puns in that one too. Very filthy puns. Appreciated always.
Always, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, the title that it's coming out is called Rift Apart. So in that one, not the dominatrix one. That's a good one too.
That is a good one.
But yeah, so yeah, we are looking forward to hearing more about Rivet. We are excited about more female protagonists in video games. So yay, Rivet. Mm-hmm. Rivet. See, that's not right. Rivet. And yes, yeah.
Funny enough, I started playing. Oh my god, I actually used the PlayStation for something that wasn't watching TV.
See?
Played some Ratchet and Clank and I really enjoyed it and I want to play more.
I know, I did start it a bit. I didn't go very far. And I feel as somebody who is mainly used to the Nintendo jump and run games from her youth and hasn't played a lot of platformers since then, I was a bit mind blown of how complex they are now.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what I mean? Like, and on the PlayStation. Maybe it's the old reflexes nowadays or something, but in general, it's just also like, that's really complex and really nice. And also the graphics are also just a tiny bit better than Nintendo 64. Just a tiny bit better. Minor.
Minutely. Is that the word you were mumble out?
I just made the word up in my head that's probably not existing as per usual.
Fair. Yeah.
So
That's it. It was a long one.
Was it? I have no idea what time it is.
We're over an hour.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Oh, 3 minutes. That's fine. I talked a lot of bullshit in the beginning. Thanks a lot for being part and listening to this episode. And we'll be back next week for another amazing episode of Geek Herring.
Bye.
Bye.
If you like this episode of Geek Herring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Herring and over on geekherring.com.